Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Proverbs. If you'll turn in your companion Bibles to page 868, we will be reading Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. So page 868 in your companion Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, hear now the word of our Lord. My son, forget not the law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, whence thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to you fathers. And because it is Father's Day, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of don't be put off by the title. It's scriptural. I'm going to talk to you about bastards and not sons. Bastards and not sons. There is scarcely a more important word in Scripture than the word Father. It occurs some 1,500 times in Scripture, either as Father or Fathers or the Fathers or the Fatherless, etc. It is the first word in the Hebrew dictionary, and I don't think that's a coincidence. The first word in the Hebrew dictionary is Av. It's just A-V, which is that for Father. It's a Chaldee word. It's found as the root word of the word Abraham, who was the father of all nations. A Chaldee word meaning high and exalted one. In our culture, it is generally thought that the mother is the most important figure in the family. But statistics show that the father was equally important, and maybe even more so. For example, 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from homes where no father is involved. 75% of all adolescent patients in drug abuse centers come from homes where no father is involved. 71% of all high school dropouts come from homes where there is no father involved. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from homes where no father is involved. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from homes where there's no father involved. 90% of homes and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from homes where no father is involved. 72% of pregnant teens are from homes where there is no father involved. 75% of black children today are born not knowing their father. Fathers, the statistics show beyond a shadow of a doubt that your position as father is vital and of the utmost importance in raising children properly. And by the way, it doesn't start when they're teens, but it starts when they're 1 and 2 years old with learning to tie their shoes, reading to them, wiping their noses, teaching them handkerchief instead of sleeve. Thank you, and please, don't talk back. I'm reminded of the song Yakety Yak, Don't Talk Back. Take out the papers in the trash, or you don't get no spending cash. All of that is part of being a father, and it starts at a young age. You see, the problem is that males, we have a bad habit as males. We will dominate either as a provider and a good father or as a predator. And this predator scenario is what has happened to the black community to a great extent. The culture in the black community has become a matriarchal system where the welfare state has demasculized men as providers and turned them into predators, preying on the checks and the sexual favors of the matriarchs, while the matriarchs are triple locked in their apartments because of the violence that's on the street. A great example of this is when I was involved with my brother-in-law in the prison work, and I was up in the Cook County Jail. And in that jail, there are around 12 or 15,000 inmates in there, maybe more than that. And of that population, there's probably 70% black, maybe 75% black. I don't know for sure, but it's a huge population of black. The male population, the whites, maybe 25 or 30%. And I was talking to the prison psychiatrist there, psychologist, and I was talking to him And I asked him the question, how many Jewish men, boys, are in this prison? Out of 12 or 15,000, 75% black, 25% white, how many are Jewish? Anybody care to take a guess? Six. Six. One half of 1/10 of 1%, you know. Why is that? Both the black and the Jew are downtrodden as a race. Well, it's because of the fathers. One race has a matriarchal system where there's no fathers on the scene, or they don't know who the father is. The other has a patriarchal system. And even though the Jews are a people that have been in bondage and been battered and been butchered, the strong position of the Jewish father keeps the kids out of prison. They have taken the scripture to heart. The fifth commandment says, honor your father. And so with that, if you'll open your Bibles to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. For you who are using a companion Bible, it's on page 1843. And we'll look at just four verses in this 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Beginning with chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. The first thing to understand with regard to that is the meaning of the word chasten. In the Greek, the word chasten comes from paideia. The number of that word, if any of you care to look, is 3809. And it's not what you think, that word chasten. We sometimes think of that word chasten as being something that's brutal, like what we see there in the next word, scourging. But it's surprising what that word actually means. And to give you a good example, back up, take a left-hand turn in your Bible and go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, page 1813 in the Companion Bible. And you've seen this many times, but it's enlightening to look at it with regard to the Greek. Matthew, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See in that 16th verse the word instruction? That is 3809, paideia. It's the exact word as translated chasten, it's instruction. I find that surprising. And we're going to look further. We're going to see another instance just like that. Now, don't lose your trend of thought, because while we're on this verse, I have to go to a sidebar. And I talk about this before, the attorneys go to a sidebar. And this is a whole nother deal, but I can't pass it up. We're on this verse, and I want to look at it again. Let me read it again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Let me read it again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What? Verse 17. That the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. What? Didn't hear you. Look at the word, that the man of God might be perfect, and it's not thoroughly. It's throughly. And the verse is always read wrong. That the man of God might be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Now, what's important about that? And I don't want to stay on this too long, lest we forget where we're going here with the rest of it. Throughly. Well, go back up to verse 15. Oh, 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom God hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And then skip down to verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. A child that is taught the Scripture becomes furnished through his lifetime, from a child to a man. And if you look at the structure of the verse, that's where he's going with this. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom them you learned them, and fortunately they learned it from their mother, but they learned it from their fathers also, because the fathers in the Jewish community are so important. That from a child thou hast known, through childhood to the man of God. I throw that in for nothing. That's free this morning. But I think it's kind of interesting. And I've been trapped by it all my life. I've been reading that verse thoroughly, and it's thoroughly, okay? All right, go back now to where we were in Hebrews Chapter 12, page 1843. And we were looking at the word chastened, and we saw then there in Timothy, it is the same word. Padia is translated instruction. So the next word that we need to look at is the meaning of the word scourgeth in the sixth verse. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That doesn't mean that he's beating their two eyes into one, or he's knocking their head clean off. The word here is a Hebrew word, and it's musar. And it is a word that's oral and not corporal discipline. It's instruction again. It's oral and not corporal. And you can you look that up in a Hebrew dictionary and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Now, it also makes mention in the dictionary, it actually tells you that this oral instruction is only good when it's coupled with this chastening. But the education is not complete. If the instruction's not there and the scourging's not included with it, then the education's not complete. So the father is instructing every son that he receiveth. And what is he doing? It's a gentle form of instruction, not punishment. And what does it prove? Well, it proves his love in verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So fathers, you prove your love to your children by chastening them, instructing them, teaching them, scourging them, orally getting after them to do the thing that you're trying to instruct them in the first place. Those without this love are usually bastards and not sons. The importance of the position of the father cannot be stressed, and is stressed by the Apostle Paul for today. Turn in your Bibles back to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Page 1769. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Provoke here means enrage, to enrage not. Don't pick at them. Don't discipline them in anger. Bring them up in the nurture. What do you think that word nurture is? It's the exact same word as chasten. In the Greek dictionary, it's 3809, paideia. The same word as chasten, the same word as instruction, and here we see it as nurture. And then we see here the word admonition. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word admonition is a word that is a mild rebuke or a warning. It is not the same word as this other word, paideia. But in the Greek dictionary, it also points out the fact that proper instruction is not complete without the chastening and the scourging and the nurturing if you bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. You see, the father's position is one of love, but the instruction is like a velvet-covered brick. It's hard, but it's soft around the edges to the advantage and the betterment of the family. Fathers, honor your father. If you go back up in verse 2 of Ephesians, where it says, honor thy father The word here is tamio. It means to prize, to fix a high value upon as a prized possession, to revere and to value. It means to not take lightly. Because your children will honor their fathers by the way you honor your father. You as fathers must be the spiritual head of the house. And you honor, therefore, not only your earthly father, but you honor also your heavenly father. You fathers must be the spiritual head of your family. It never works for dad or for mom to take the kids to church while dad stays home and mows the grass and plays golf. The role of father is extremely important, as those statistics pointed out that I showed to you. The relationship provided by the role of the father is crucial, not only to the family's well-being, but to society in general. And I think it's pretty easy to see what's happening here in the U.S. as our culture declines, where fathers have departed. The father's not known. The father's not on the scene. It's a big problem in America today. And I'm not prejudiced, and I'm not down on the black race, but that shows exactly what is happening. When the fathers are not there and you develop a matriarchal system, the father's role must be taken seriously, and I encourage you fathers to continue the same. Provide a good role model to your children by honoring your father, earthly father, and heavenly father. Treat them as sons and not bastards. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your love towards us. We're grateful for you as our Heavenly Father. We're grateful for your Son, Christ Jesus. We're grateful for the salvation that we have through him. Father, I pray for fathers this morning that they may continue to take seriously their role. Encourage them, give them the strength as they raise these children up and nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. For it's in Christ's name, amen.